So today, we're going to carry on in our series looking at relational life together. And this has been the one talk I've been dreading doing, more so than the last one we did about husbands and wives submitting to each other, because this one affects me even more than ever before. Because today, we're looking at how we deal with conflict. And it's the thing I don't want to talk about, because I know as we talk about it, I have to do it. I don't want to do it, because I don't like dealing with conflict. Who here likes to deal with conflict? Nope. See, how we normally deal with conflict in life, whether that's in the church, our family, or wherever it might be, at work, at school, there's probably four main ways in which we deal with conflict. The first one is that someone offends us, and we just hold it in. We ignore it, but we still remember it, and we kind of push it deep down inside of us, and we kind of hold on to it, and we store it away, and we kind of think, problem? What problem? It's fine. It's all right. It's all right. And then that person offends you again, and again, and again, and suddenly all the things that you've been pushing down suddenly start to come out at the most inappropriate moments. Holding things in, trying to ignore the problem, doesn't resolve it. We talked about this in the Beatitudes series when we looked at being at peace with each other. Just ignoring the problem, saying, oh, it doesn't matter, doesn't actually resolve the issue and the root cause that is affecting both parties. That's the first one. We hold out on people. We hold it in. We ignore it. The second one is we give the cold shoulder. Someone offends us, and so we don't deal with it. We just give them the cold shoulder. We freeze them out of life. We sort of ignore them so that they know we're in a mood with them, but we don't actually ever tell them why we're in a mood with them. We just give them the cold shoulder and avoid that person. And we avoid spending time with them. We freeze them out of our life. That's sort of number two of how we tend to deal with conflict. The third one is we run away. We just run away from the problem. We avoid it at all costs. We just keep running. Even at the cost of we leave a church because we've been offended, so we leave the church. We change schools. We change job. We keep running from the problem. So rather than resolving it, we just keep running. It could even be a spouse. We just change partner because we don't want to deal with the conflict that has arisen. We just keep running. And when you keep running, you'll always be running. Because if you haven't dealt with the issue, that problem will crop up again and again and again. Wherever you go, you'll always be running from it. Because you're not resolving the problem. The fourth way we deal with conflict is we erupt. The volcano person. The person who you try and have a situation or you're offended and you utterly explode that person as a way of defense. You have a chip on your shoulder. You're easily offended. You just explode at people. So people don't want to go anywhere near you because they know if they talk to you about a particular thing, you'll just erupt. And it's a defense mechanism. The thing is, all four of these ways that we deal with things, which I do most of these at various times, don't actually deal with the root cause of the problem. They're ways to try and deal with it, but they never actually resolve the problem. And the Bible wants us to be people who are reconciled to each other. See, in a community, conflict is going to happen. This morning isn't me trying to say, just love everyone nicely, and it will be fine, and there'll never be any problems at all. That's just not true. In the life of the church, and in our families, and with our friends, and at school, and at work, at some point, we will have a conflict of interest with people we are around, because we're human, and that's what happens. Because ultimately, we're all selfish. And so we like to be offended. And when we're offended, we love it because it makes us feel righteous, it makes us feel good, and it gives us a power over that other person. Because we feel better because I'm offended. And therefore, I have a right to you to do this and you to do that. It gives us a power. And the Bible says, don't judge. Don't do that. That is not godly because ultimate power belongs to God. So how dare you do that with each other? So of course, we reconciled together. And this morning, I'm going to take us through 8 biblical steps. 8 steps this morning, I know, lots. But quick fire. 8 steps of biblically how we're going to go about resolving conflict. It's not an exhaustive list, but hopefully it'll be helpful. Because we want to be truly a community of God, which is honest and wholesome and right. We need to know the tools of how we're going to resolve conflict with each other, because it's going to happen. I've said here many times before, at some point, I will offend you. And praise God for that when I do. I will offend you. It's going to happen. If you're around here long enough, I will offend you. And equally, you'll probably offend me at some point. That's all fine. But it's okay. As long as we know the biblical tools of how we're going to go about resolving our situations. Now, because I wasn't sure we were going to have a screen this morning or not, I've gone for retro PowerPoint. Oh, are you loving this morning? I'm not sure if you can actually see it, but we'll hope for the best. So the first point in dealing with conflict and resolving that, step number one is, are you ready? And no one can see it. Go directly. If you have an issue with a person, go directly to them. That's the first step. You sort it out with that person one-on-one. You go to them directly. In Matthew 5, Jesus says this, if you are offering a gift at the altar, and then you remember a brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar, first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And in Ephesians it goes on to say, do not let the sun go down whilst you are still angry. It's saying, sort it out directly with that particular person. Go to them. See, our tendency, isn't it, is to go to other people and go, they've hurt me, they've offended me. No, go directly to that person. Don't come to me as a pastor and go, I've been so hurt by this person. You're a mature adult. Go and sort it out with them. Go directly to the person who's offended you and say, I think there's something between us, we need to sort it out. That is step number one. And we don't like this. I'm not sure anyone really likes conflict. We don't like to go directly to that person. It doesn't feel natural or normal, but this is the first step. And because it's the first step, you can't do any of the other steps until you've done this one. So you can't jump to step four or step five. You've got to go to step one first. If step one isn't there, you go directly to that person. That's step number one. It doesn't mean to say you go to that person about every tiny little thing. It's the big things, where there's a relationship issue, where there's a relationship breakdown, where you're holding animosity between you and someone else. These are the big things, not the sort of petty little things that get in the way of life. These are the big things we're talking about here. This is where there's a proper relational issue. And that's how it says, leave your gift at the altar and go and sort it out. I've spoken before about how if you are at conflict with someone in the life of this church and you come to worship, it will affect the entire way the worship flows in this church. Because if you're not reconciled with each other, it will stop God flowing. Because God is a God of peace and a God of order. And so when we defile that and we are discommunicating from each other, God doesn't work because he hates disunity. He loves community. So it says, leave your gift at the altar, go and sort it out, and then come and offer your gift before God. I.e., don't come and offer lip service to God and say, oh, I love you, God, you're awesome, you've forgiven me. Well, you know that actually there's someone else that you need to sort out your life with. Don't do it. It's not honouring to God. So that's step one. Go directly to the person. Sort it out with them. That's the person you've got an issue with. That's the person you need to go and sort it out with. And here's the other thing to say. If someone comes to you and says, I think I've got a problem with you, be open to that and be open to receive that. You might think, I've done nothing wrong. But we need to be open as a community to hear when people say to us, actually, I have something between us. And you might go, it's not at all. But we need to be open to hear them out. So step one, go directly. Romans 12:18 says, as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is what Paul is saying to the church, saying, it's about you. You've got a responsibility to live at peace with each other. So first step, go directly. Number two, this is so showbiz up here. Go privately. Matthew 18:15 says, if you've got a problem with someone, go to them on your own. First and foremost, go on your own. Do it privately. Go directly, go privately. So don't go to your friend or your neighbour and go, oh, that person has just so offended me. They've done this, and they've done this, and they've done this. So what we're actually looking for is we're looking for affirmation that we're right and that they're wrong. And we wanted to try and cement in us the fact that we are in the right. And it's that person's problem, not my problem. And therefore, I have a right over them. You need to sort it out with each other. Don't go to each other, don't go to someone else and go, oh, they've so hurt me. Because ultimately, that's gossip. So if someone does come to you and say, oh, this person's offended me and hurt me, you need to go, whoa, whoa. Step number one, go directly. Step number two, go privately. I don't need to hear this. If we start doing this as a community, it'll be really awkward, but it'll be really radical and really Jesus-like. So I want to be a church where we're prepared to be a bit awkward with each other. So we start doing this, it will start feeling, yeah, it'll be weird at first, but it'll be so releasing and so refreshing and so of God. So go privately. I'm just going to jump ahead. Step number three. Begin with words of affirmation. So when you're going to go, think about what you're going to say. Go with words of affirmation. It says in Ephesians 4, do not use harmful words when talking. Use only helpful words, the kinds that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear it. When we talk about conflict with others, our starting point is normally to accuse the other person. We go, I've got an issue with you, I've come to you directly, I'm doing it privately, you're wrong. It's like, whoa, no. Start with words of affirmation. Start with things that are positive and helpful. There's things that actually you need to own. You need to own those things as well and go, actually, I'm probably at fault as well. Go and affirm people. You see, what we want to do is we want to just accuse. We want to just say, you're wrong. It's not right. But we want to go and say, actually, I want to affirm that I want to be in relationship with you. I want to affirm that I want to be reconciled in this situation, this issue. That's our starting point, to say, here's what I've come to do. I've come to make sure that we can be in the best community we possibly can be. It's not going in anger to tell someone off. It's going in love to say, I want to be in community with you. And at the moment, there's something that's happened which I feel is stopping that community. And so we need to go and we affirm that person as they are. We affirm the relationship to which we're looking for. We affirm the positive nature of what we hope the outcome of the conversation will be. We affirm our willingness to enter into it in emptiness. Say, I'm going to come into this and I'm going to leave everything at the door so we can just have this conversation. I'm going to just put myself aside. I'm going to come sacrificially to you and say, actually, I'm at fault too, but let's talk about this together. Not coming in going, well, I've spoken to so-and-so and they think I'm right. You are wrong. It's coming with words of affirmation saying, I want to affirm this relationship. I want this to be a positive thing. I want to see God's church united in the purposes of him. So we start with affirmation. Step number four. Monitor your mouth. So if step three is about what you're going to say to them, step four is about how you say it. It says in Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Think about the tone that you go when you go to resolve conflict. If you go with a kind of a sarcastic attitude of kind of, oh, well, I know you're going to say this again to me, and oh, we've been here before, and oh, this, it's not going to honour anyone. Think about how you're saying it. If you're just kind of a bit blasé about it all, it's going to have no beneficial effect. We have to go with integrity and honesty, and we need to monitor how we're going to say what we're going to say. So it's done in a godly way, a good way that is affirming, as part three is, but step four is about making sure how we say it is affirming, it is positive, and actually we say it in a way which is beneficial to each other. So we need to watch our tone. And people who talk about conflict resolution say the best thing to do when you talk to each other is to use I feel statements. I feel hurt. I feel there's an issue between us. I feel something's gone wrong. Not going, you've hurt me. I feel hurt because of this. You've done this. You've done that. It's saying, actually, I feel this way. It's not about you. It's about me. Actually, I feel hurt. I feel that something's gone wrong between us. And it gives the other person the opportunity to say, I didn't realize you felt that way. So using I feel statements means it's about you as much as it's about the other person. It's not coming accusation. It's coming with integrity to say, look, this is how I feel about this. So let's try and sort it out. Because the other person might not have known they've hurt your feelings, which is quite likely. So think about how you're going to resolve it using I feel statements, watching your tone, being sensible about how you approach what you're going to talk about. Okay, step five. Look for what you can own. So if you've got conflict with someone, an issue with someone, when you go to them and you're going through these different steps, look for what you can own. Actually, where are you probably at fault? It says in 1 John 1:18, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And in general, we're quite happy with that, aren't we? We're all sinners. Oh, we're all sinners. I know. I have just as much sin as you do. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of life, we don't actually like that, do we? We like to say, we like to be better than someone else. We like to be in the right. We like to judge them so that we feel better about ourselves. So when we come to people, what we tend to do is we tend to come wanting to blame that other person, not to own the situation. We come to accuse them, not to admit where there might be fault. We come to point the finger, not to accept the blame. We need to come and own the situation. What in this might have gone wrong that actually might be me? It might be actually the way I do things, the way that I've approached this. So look for what you can own as you come to be reconciled with each other, recognizing that there's probably fault on both sides, because it's never just one party, it's normally both parties. So look for what you can own. Then we're going to step six. Step six. Establish specific ways to resolve the conflict. So you're going to come, you're going to talk to each other, you're going to affirm the situation, you're going to affirm what you're trying to do, you're going to look at how you're going to say it, you're going to talk about how you feel in that situation, we're going to look at what we can own in that situation. We actually have to get down and go, how are we actually going to resolve this? Because it is a problem, and if we don't resolve it, it will just continue to happen. So how are we actually going to resolve this situation? What are we going to do about it? It says in Hebrews 12:14, work at getting along with each other. That key word there, work at it. It might take time. This isn't a quick fix, one conversation over a coffee. This takes time to work on it, to work it through. We can't share how we feel. Even when it goes well, we have to lay out some specific ways we're going to address the problem. And there's two questions here which can maybe help us come about resolving the situation. Question number one under this point. How can we avoid this particular problem in the future? And number two, how can we improve our lines of communication so this doesn't happen again? Not the be-all and end-all questions, but those questions might help. How can we avoid this particular problem in the future? How can we improve our lines of communication? So often conflict comes about because our communication between each other isn't working. It isn't right. So we need to plan, have a game plan of how we're going to resolve the issue and the conflict. It's not just being, well, I forgive you. No, I forgive you. Well, I forgive you. It's actually practical. So we actually have to live together and get on with each other. So we actually need to work out how we're going to do that practically. Step number seven. Is to reaffirm the relationship. Reaffirm that relationship. So what happens when there's conflict, it divides us. And when we're divided, we are unlike God. God is community in himself. He is a unity of Trinity. So being together, conflict being resolved, being reconciled to each other is in the nature of God. That's the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, so that we can be reconciled with God. We can be in relationship with each other. And so actually when you've gone through all these steps, these six steps to get to number seven, at the end of it you need to go, I want to affirm this relationship. that we are in relationship together. We are called by God to be in this church together. We're called in this family to be in this family together. We are called to be in this marriage together. We want to reaffirm this relationship, that we intentionally want to be reconciled. We intentionally want to love each other. We intentionally want to get over this because that is the godly way of doing it. Now, this doesn't mean that person has to become your new best friend. But the Bible isn't about separation, it's about reconciliation. In 2009, the most popular word in America was the word unfriend, coming from social media, from Facebook, when you unfriend someone on Facebook. When you go, I don't like them anymore, unfriend. But the gospel isn't about unfriending, the gospel is about befriending each other, being in that relationship, being together in unity. That is the gospel which we have received and we are called to share with each other. We have to reaffirm together that we are in it for the long haul together. Reaffirm that community. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says, that great passage on love and community, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So if we're doing this properly and try to resolve the conflict, we get to the end and we don't kind of go, well, we've resolved it for now, but in the future, when they do it again, oh, I will explode at them. Oh, I will do this. Love keeps no record of wrongs. The whole point of conflict resolution is to resolve the problem, not to make it bearable for the time being until we have another fight again. It's to try and resolve it. So if you haven't managed on step 6 to work out specific ways you're going to do stuff, it's going to be very hard for step 7 to say, we want to reaffirm our relationship together. Why don't we pray together as a sign of our unity? Why don't we do something together in church as a sign of our unity? Why don't we as a married couple do something together as a sign of our unity together? Why don't we as school friends do something together to reaffirm our relationship? Love keeps no record of wrongs. No grudges. No ongoing bitterness towards people. Love keeps no record of wrongs. But we find that hard to do because we hate doing these steps. We like to jump to this and kind of go, oh, I've forgiven them. But we're back to where we started. We ignore it, we hold it in, and bitterness grows inside of us. We have to go through these steps. Now, normally, these 7 steps are plenty. These steps are what you need to go through. And so you can't jump ahead to number 5 if you haven't done number 1. They go in steps, build upon each other. These are the steps you need to follow through, biblically. But there's one last one for extreme circumstances. When you have tried all of these 7 steps, and you've tried to be reconciled with someone, and that person refuses to be reconciled with you. That person refuses to be in relationship with you. You have tried everything. You have gone through this process several times. You might have enlisted other people's help into this, just like Matthew 18 says, if someone doesn't listen to you, get someone else to come and help you. Not in a, they've hurt me. Someone who is outside the situation to come be an arbitrator between the two parties to help bring about unity and peace. So you might have to go through this a few times. It might take a long time. But if you get to the situation where you've tried everything you possibly can and you don't know what else to do, the last step is drastically radical. And say, it's not the first step. I need to make this clear because this is the one that we love to try and do first. The last step is this. If all else fails, if needed, we draw up boundaries between us and that person. It says in Titus 3:10-11, warn a quarrelsome person once or twice, but then be done with them. It's obvious that such a person is out of line, rebellious against God, by persisting in deviousness that cuts themselves off. So what it's saying is, if that person refused to be in relationship with you, they refuse to be reconciled with you, and if this is in the church, the reason we cut that person off or we find a boundary to maybe separate ourselves for the time being is because if that person refuses to be reconciled with you, they're not living in line with God's heart. Because God's heart is for us to be reconciled. So if we refuse to be reconciled with each other, we dishonor God and we're in sin. We have to repent of that and start again. But there are extreme circumstances when people in the life of the church or in your family or in whatever it might be, there are some of the extreme circumstances when that person refused to listen, and actually having warned them time and time again, having tried to go through this process several times, you're actually, the only answer now is draw up some boundaries. How are we going to make this work so actually this is okay? Because actually I can't be in community with you because I'm trying really hard, but you refuse to let me be in community with you. But this is the extreme step, the last step. There are 7 preceding steps before this one. It's very clear to you. Because so often we go, draw up a boundary. I like that one. I'll do that one first. I'll avoid them. And what you're doing is you're giving them the cold shoulder, freezing them out. We're going back to where we started again, where you're dishonouring that person by not actually dealing with the issue. So sometimes there is a need to actually be separate from other people, to draw up a boundary with those other people. So these are some steps to help us resolve conflict in the life of the church, in our families, with our friends, and at school. It's not exhaustive, it's not the only way to do it, but these are biblical things that hopefully you've seen that actually will help us as we want to try and be in better relationship with each other. As I said at the beginning, it will be so awkward. It will be so hard at first. But wouldn't it be lovely? Wouldn't it be awesome if we could be truly honest with each other, open with each other, and listen to each other? Going back to that first sermon about how we relate to each other, being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. When someone comes with a conflict issue with us, let's start back at that first sermon, being quick to listen to them, hearing what they've got to say, not going, "Whoa!" Let's be a people who really seek to be after God's own heart by wanting reconciliation to be at the heart of all we do. Because it's not just resolution, it's reconciliation. And that's so much deeper. This is about wanting to have an ongoing relationship. Not resolve it for the time being and then walk away. This is about saying, I want to resolve the conflict so we can continue to be in community together. So often, we resolve the conflict, we clear the air, we think, my conscience is clean, I've done it right, I've left well from the relationship. But we're not called to leave the relationship unless in the drastic circumstances. We're called to be in that ongoing relationship. So clearing the air isn't enough. That's why point 7 is really important. We have to reaffirm that relationship. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to make it work. I'm committed to this. And if you're a church member, that's what you've signed up for. You've made a commitment and a covenant relationship between God and everyone else to do this. So if you don't do this, again, you're in sin. And we need to hear it as that, because we just cast ourselves, that person's in a bad mood. No. Maybe sometimes they are in a bad mood, but actually, it's sin. And we have to call sin for what it is. It is not in God's heart to be at each other's throats. It's not in God's heart to be in a bad relationship with each other. God's heart is for unity and community together, where things work beautifully. We'll never get rid of conflict, but we can be people who are excellent and radical and awkward about resolving that conflict. And more than that, reconciling conflict. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Bible gives us practical details about how we deal with each other, even when we really don't like each other, even when we've fallen out with each other. Lord, your Bible, your word gives us truth of how to re-establish, how to bring about a peace, a shalom relationship with each other, where things are as they should be. Lord God, I pray that we would get over the awkwardness, that, Lord, we would be mature Christians and mature believers who are prepared to see conflict for what it is and deal with it to bring about the holiness of God in our community. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who are in bad relationships, in bad conflicts with each other, Lord, I pray that your peace would come, your shalom would move, and that, Lord, there would be a tenderness and a sweetness to that relationship that, Lord, would help resolve those situations. Lord, give us grace for each other. as we engage in this way. Bless us as a community, I pray, Lord God. Amen. We're going to